Morning IELTS Supplement, Wednesday, July the 19th, 2017. Blockchain, Part 1. It's happening in an increasingly frequent manner. Jamie, explain this blockchain stuff to me. I've read a bunch of articles and I'm no wiser. The problem with most blockchain explainers is that they provide more detail than what matters to most people.Using language that is foreign to most people, which winds up in leaving people more confused than when they started. Instead, without worrying about being a technically perfect description, here's an explanation of blockchain your parents could understand. First, let's reframe blockchain. Starting with terminology, let's ditch unfamiliar words and talk plainly. I promise you won't read about nodes or hashing in this article. Jumping right in, a blockchain is a distributed database, otherwise known as a distributed ledger. To make things really simple and relatable, let's call that ledger a record book instead. Furthermore, let's talk in terms of it being shared instead of distributed.For even greater context, think about a blog as a line item in that shared record book. So, for the purpose of this article, we are going to call blockchain a shared record book. Each addition to this record book is a new line item. A shared record book? That doesn't sound very complex. Technology is only as complex as salesmen and con man wanted to sound. It's all created by people no smarter than you or I, and it's all quite simple when you break it down. That said, the modern version of this shared record book is indeed a technological triumph, one that is looking to shape our future in profound ways. To be clear, this isn't just one record book stored in a central location that is shared by many. There are thousands of copies of this record book.Stored on computers all around the world, both home computers and business servers, hence the term decentralized. This record book can be used to record any kind of things. However, I'll use sending and receiving money as the primary example, as it's the most common one right now. When John wants to send money to Sue, a new line item is created detailing that transaction.This line item then gets sent off to hundreds of other computers who have a copy of the record. Those computers confirm that this transaction is authorized, and ultimately they agree or disagree that everything about the transaction is legitimate. Before giving that line item a tick of approval, it also has to match up perfectly on every copy of the record.It's as if John and Sue had a few hundred maids stand around them and watched John hand Sue the money in question, and they all agree that he really did hand her the money, as well as other aspects of the transaction, such as it being the right amount. How is this different to a bank? The genius of this shared record book is that it requires no bank,No centrally owned company, and you don't have to place your trust in any financial institution. There doesn't need to be any middleman of any kind. To elaborate, this shared record book is not owned by any one individual or organization. It's owned by everyone who has a copy, but that doesn't mean any one person who has a copy has control. More on this soon. Additionally, this record book is what we call immutable.Or layman's term, it's irreversible. Every line entry made will exist in perpetuity for as long as the internet exists. If Sue wanted to refund John's money, this would be a new line item sending the money back, not the crossing out of the original transaction. Because of those technology design decisions, fudging line items in a shared record book is impossible. If someone who has one or more copies of the record book on their computers was to try and dishonestly change it, those changes would be rejected by the many computers used in the verification process. Things wouldn't match up. Hum, John, that's monopoly money. But where is the money stored if there is no bank? Here's one of the more challenging parts of this to grasp. When we are talking about digital currencies such as Bitcoin, there is no repository of coins. That line item in record book is the money. Pretend for a moment that the first entry in the book was by someone named Jesse, the founder of this digital currency, who writes, 1 million coins now exist. Jesse then hands them out to lots and lots of people, creating a new line item for each transaction. Jesse sent 500 to Bill, 1,000 to Sue, Jesse likes Sue more, obviously, and so on. To receive those coins, Bill and Sue would have provided a wallet address to Jesse, which is equivalent of your account details provided to receive a direct deposit with your bank. Bill and Sue each have a very long, very secret codes which give them ownership of the line items that relate to their wallets. In this way, only they can create new line items with the coins that have been sent to them. Once Bill has created a new line item that says he has put 50 coins in Sue's wallet, he can no longer control where those coins go from now. Only Sue can. This is how millions of people can have a copy of the record without being able to add new line items relating to any of the other 1 million coins that are documented in this shared record book. Stay tuned for Blockchain Part 2.